This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
What happens to a house when it's on fire? Well, the obvious thing is to call the firefighters to put out the flame, but what if a bank is on fire? Not literally, of course, but like the financial crisis kind of fire, like a metaphorical kind of fire. Who's in charge of putting out those flames and protecting our hard-earned savings in the bank?
Regardless of whatever financial crisis it was, what we've learned is that we need to be better prepared with all the appropriate tools and powers to better manage failures of financial institutions in an orderly manner. Because if it does happen, we want to be able to deal with it in an orderly fashion, so that's less disruption. By providing this protection, we also help promote confidence. So people won't be so susceptible to rumors and panic attacks if they hear something not so good about maybe a bank. Because actually a bank run can actually be self-fulfilling. You know what a bank run is? You know, when people sort of like all queue up and start wanting to withdraw from the bank at the same time.
Because they feel like their safety is jeopardized.
Yeah, quite right. So even if the bank's not in trouble, so if everybody were to suddenly all go and withdraw the money from the bank at the same time, this would actually be a constraint on the liquidity of the bank. And a good bank from a good bank can actually become a troubled bank. We also want to protect this. So shoring up confidence, you know, in the stability of the financial system, the safety of people's deposits is something that is very critical for a deposit insurance system to work.
So it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They are worried that the bank is not safe, so they go to the bank, like a bank run you mentioned,
and
cause the bank to collapse, the very thing that they wanted to avoid.
So the idea is to keep people aware that there is such a system so that they don't have to panic because they know that their money is safe and they'll get it back.
That's the voice of Sarina Arifin. She's the Deputy General Manager of the Communication and Public Affairs Division at PIDM. That's Perbadanan Insurance Deposit Malaysia. And like she said, their main role is to protect the deposits that you and I have in banks out there. To be really honest with you, when I first heard about PIDM, I realized that I knew nothing about them despite being an important part of our financial ecosystem. And if you're like me, you're probably concerned about who protects our banks and hard-earned money from going down in metaphorical flames. I'm Arvind Yuvraj, and in the next four episodes, join me as we learn about PIDM as an institution, what they do, and their roles in our financial ecosystem.
Let me ask you a question, Arvin. Would you care if you found out tomorrow that your bank had gone bankrupt and you'd lost all your deposits, your savings in the bank? Would you be stressed out about this?
For sure, yeah.
Essentially, this is the core of what PIDM's protection is about for our depositors. In the event something happens that the bank is going to fail or is going bankrupt or insolvent, PIDM is the government authority that protect your deposits and, you know, make sure that you get continued access to your bank deposits, your money in the bank. But actually, deposits are not the only thing that we cover. We also protect takaful certificates and insurance policy owners. So let's say in the event, a very unlikely event, that a PIDM insurance member would fail or is going bankrupt, we will ensure that the takaful or insurance policy owner's coverage will continue on whatever benefits were insured inside that takaful or insurance policy. Not many people know that actually it has its origins going back quite a long, long way.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's like a long history behind the creation of PIDM, right? Like a few big events in the financial space led to PIDM being established.
Yes, that's true. So as far as history goes, maybe the first deposit insurer that we've ever had in the world is the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation in the USA. And this was established in 1933, which is during the time of the Great Depression. So for Malaysia, as you rightly put just now, the precursor for PIDM's establishment was the 1997-1998 Asian financial crisis. So this crisis was basically the foundation or the root of how we came to be, which PIDM was established in 2005. And we have been established under the PIDM Act, an Act of Parliament. So that's 15 years ago. Basically, when the Asian financial crisis happened, Bank Negara Malaysia formulated a financial sector master plan. And they set out a vision for the financial system of Malaysia to achieve by 2010. And among one of the key measures they identified was towards, you know, for the sake of rebuilding the strength of the financial system, was they set out the need for a deposit insurance system as part of the whole overall package of measures that you need to build public confidence in the safety of the banking system. So a deposit insurance is actually aimed at strengthening the consumer protection framework. We have an increasingly market-oriented financial system, so you need someone to look after the consumers. So when we were established in 2005, around the same period, our neighboring countries like Indonesia and Singapore were also setting up their own deposit insurance systems. And later this was followed by Thailand and Brunei. And actually, quite interestingly, the Philippines and the Vietnam were actually ahead of us. As far as, you know, in Southeast Asia, as far as establishment of a DI, deposit insurer. And they established their deposit insurance systems in 1963, the Philippines, and Vietnam 2000. So Philippines has been around for more than 50 years and Vietnam 20 years.
It's so quite a long time.
Yes. Yeah. So they were the precursors to the Southeast Asian sort of setup of deposit insurers. Mm-hmm. So right now, in the whole world, there are about 130 deposit insurers. So it's something that is happening in most jurisdictions and most countries. They have this consumer protection framework for their banking systems.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a few other countries just now. How does the protection provided by PIDM differ from other countries? Because you said like 130 countries have a similar system, right? So how does our system differ?
Basically, concept deposit insurance is actually quite similar throughout the world. And what we've realized, or what's one of the most basic things about the experiences from other jurisdictions, is that your protection limit in any jurisdiction must be significant enough to protect the majority of depositors in the financial system. So this is important. You want to make sure that the majority are protected under your system, under your limit, the limit that you provide. And this is very necessary for financial consumer confidence. So in Malaysia, the deposit insurance system here, which we sometimes fondly abbreviate it as DIS or DIS, but it's just say deposit insurance, we protect depositors up to 250,000 ringgit per depositor per member bank. By having this limit, based on what we know, 97% of depositors in Malaysia are protected in full. That means that 97% have 250,000 or less, and they would be protected for that total amount that they have in their member banks.
You know, so this means the majority of depositors have deposits below 250,000 ringgit, right? What about the 3% who have more than that amount? Like, are they also protected?
As you said, the majority are protected in full in the event of a member bank failure. For those that actually have more than 250,000 ringgit of deposits, there are ways that you can maximize this protection. So, for example, Islamic deposits are separately protected from conventional deposits up to 250,000 ringgit. So if you had an account with an Islamic bank or Islamic account within the same bank, it would be 250,000 for Islamic deposits and 250,000 for conventional deposits. And then there are also joint accounts and trust accounts, which you hold with other persons. So for example, if you had your account in one member bank, this is not going to be aggregated for the purposes of calculating that 250,000 limit, yeah, with your joint account. Say you have a joint account with your wife, for example, or sister or brother. So that's a separate account from your account that you hold as an individual in your own name. So they're separately protected. They have separate limits of 250,000 ringgit. And then, of course, you could keep your money separately in different banks. So these are also separately protected.
So am I right to say that PIDM protection works according to accounts instead of individuals? Like if an individual has more than one account accounting to more than 250,000 ringgit, technically they're still protected 100% as long as those accounts are split.
Actually, it goes by the depositor name. So let's say that, you are Vin, you have your own account. Arvin has one account and Arvin has account. I don't know if you're married, but let's just assume you are for this case.
I am.
Arvin and wife have another account. It's how the name, how the account is named in whose name. So you have two names in the joint account and only one name. So they're considered as separate entities, separate account entities rather than separate individuals.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I just wanted to know how the division happens, just to get some clarity on, you know, how the protection works, like entities versus persons versus accounts, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so Arvin and Co. is different from Arvin. So Arvind and Co would be separately protected, but Arvind would have separate protection for Arvind's own savings account.
I see.
So if you had a joint account with your wife, if you have a company account, and then you have your own individual account all within the same bank, for example, then you would have three separate protection limits for each of these accounts.
Of course, nothing is free in this world and everything comes with a price. That's for sure, right? I mean, from the sounds of it, PIDM protects a huge number of depositors. Surely there must be some sort of cost for this kind of protection, right? Cost that customers have to bear, perhaps.
No. The answer, no. The protection we provide you as a depositor is automatic and free. So what this actually means is you don't need to apply for the protection, nor do you need to pay. And that's the same with all financial consumers under our deposit insurance system. It shouldn't be the financial consumer who pays for it.
Mm-hmm. Just to clarify for myself, like, was there ever a time when a premium was considered for PIDM services, or was it always meant to be like free of charge from the beginning? Was it ever structured as a sort of, like how insurance works? Was that ever the plan?
It's not structured like that for financial consumers, but it's structured like that for our member institutions. So it's the member institutions that pay premiums and levies to PIDM to provide that protection to their customers.
So in that case, I guess the obvious follow-up question would be, how do you fund your operations? Like, where does the money come from?
Okay, so our operational expenses are funded by the premiums and levies which our member institutions pay us on an annual basis. And the majority of the annual premiums we receive are actually used towards building up our protection funds. So there was a small amount that's actually used for our operations. And so those protection funds, which I mentioned, are actually the funds that we use to protect depositors. So if, let's say, the bank fail, which is a member bank or PIDM, or they can no longer continue the business. So the protection funds is what we would be going to help to give back consumers their money. Having said that, since 2018, PIDM has actually achieved what we call self-sufficiency. So what this means is that we're no longer using the premiums and annual levies as they're paid for our operational expenses, but the protection funds are actually invested, and the income that's generated from the investments are sufficient to cover our operating expenses. So that means that all of the premiums and levies that we now receive from our member institutions are channeled directly towards building up our protection funds.
I see. Okay. And are the deposits the only things that PIDM protects?
No, we do more than that, actually. We have a similar protection system for Takaful certificates and insurance policy owners, which we call the Takaful and Insurance Benefits Protection System, or TIPS. This one, the protection limit provided, is actually up to 500,000 ringgit per Takaful or insurance benefit. And again, this protection is also automatic and free for Takaful certificate and insurance policy owners.
I heard you using the terms like member banks and insurer members. What do those things mean? Like, who are PIDM's members?
Okay, collectively, those that are covered under our protection schemes, whether they're the banks, the Takaful operators, insurance companies, these are our member institutions. So for member banks, our member banks are all commercial banks licensed under the Financial Services Act 2013, and all Islamic banks licensed under the Islamic Financial Services Act 2013. So these also include locally incorporated subsidiaries of foreign banks that are operating in Malaysia. And on the other side, for insurer members, our PIDM insurer members, these are all the Takaful operators licensed under the Islamic Financial Services Act 2013 again. And these would conduct family and or general Takaful business in Malaysia, as well as insurance companies licensed under the Financial Services Act 2013 to conduct life and or general insurance business in Malaysia. So this also includes locally incorporated subsidiaries of foreign insurance companies operating in Malaysia. In total, we have 92 member institutions, 42 are member banks, and 50 insurer members. But maybe I should also stress here at this point that although they are member institutions, but not all their products and services are protected by PIDM. Say, for example, a PIDM member bank, although it does have deposits that are protected by PIDM, they may also have other products besides these deposits, such as investments and loans, and these are not covered under our deposit insurance system.
Okay. So we spoke about the history of PIDM earlier on, and recently PIDM celebrated its 15th anniversary in September. How has PIDM evolved over the years from when it first started or when it was first established?
Okay, Basically, what the Asian financial crisis, as well as the global financial crisis, highlighted in our history is that there's a need for better governance and risk management amongst financial institutions. So as financial systems continue to evolve and become more complex, even we as a government authority within a financial system must be prepared to respond and manage these emerging risks and developments. For example, when we started out with the deposit insurance system in 2005, our protection limit at that time was 60,000 ringgit per deposit per member bank. So, you know, it was just 60,000. That mm-hmm. was 15 years ago. And this amount, this limit, was later revised in 2010 to the current 250,000 ringgit. And during that point in 2010, we also expanded our protection to cover takaful and insurance products. So we were giving a more holistic protection to financial consumers in general. We increased the limit as well as we expanded the scope of PNM protection. We work closely with our other financial safety net players in the system, which is namely Bank Negara Malaysia and the Ministry of Finance, and looking, you know, ensuring that we can maintain stability to the financial system. There is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, which, you know, maybe is not known or obvious to many people around. Mm-hmm. But where the public is concerned, basically what we do a lot of is, you know, give information and programs to improve awareness and understanding of PIDM.
And how has that been going for PIDM?
It can be a real challenge, you know, where getting people's attention is concerned. So we're always looking at, you know, new ways of how we can grow awareness and build more understanding and you know, and trust and confidence or belief knowing what PIDM does. So one important foundation to creating this awareness over the longer term is really to improve financial literacy amongst Malaysians. So we're also educating and engaging social media users on personal finance and what they can do to be more financially resilient over the long term. But I mean, it's still small steps for us now, but we'd like to think that eventually, as I said, with our financial consumers becoming more financially literate, they can actually appreciate PIDM's role better. You know, there's also another aspect why public awareness on deposit insurance is so important. You remember the time I was talking about the self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah.
So during a potential crisis, in the event that, you know, there may be a situation where a member bank or a member institution is failing or going into bankruptcy, we really want the public to be confident that there is this authority called PIDM that is there and that we will protect their bank deposits, takaful and insurance benefits. If you know that there's someone looking after these things, then reduce the probability of panic. So we'll give the assurance and peace of mind to financial consumers that their hard-earned savings are protected.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I want to say that, you know, it's also important to reach the newcomers into the financial scene, right? You spoke about social media and a lot of like Gen Zers are starting to work now. You know, they have bank accounts, they have their own savings and stuff. So they're going to want to know how their money is protected. And they are the ones who are mostly on social media in a way.
Yes, you're quite right. So we do realize that we have very broad target audience. Everybody who has their own bank account is, you know, at least 18, and, you know, up to people who are already no longer working in retirement, and, you know, their money is all parked away nicely in their fixed deposits, or, you know, they have insurance products. So it's a big spectrum of audience, and we have to make sure that we can get our messages across on the right platforms, and those that where people, like you say, the young people are in social media, and where the, say, maybe less so. The older generation, we still need to look at having things on your newspapers and, you know, getting communication out to them in the way that they may prefer to receive it.
So I guess, you know, I want to ask, a lot of people might get confused, not confused, or might mistake your role. So in terms of your role at PIDM, how is it different from, let's say, Bank Negara Malaysia?
Okay. Bank Negara Malaysia is the primary supervisor and regulator of the financial system. So they're responsible for maintaining the stability of the whole financial system. So the role of Bank Negara is to promote monetary and financial stability, and they achieve this by regulating and supervising the financial system and its players. And these players would include the banks, takaful operators, insurance companies that are also member institutions of PIDM. So where PRM comes in is we have a complementary role to Bank Negara's role, and we contribute to the stability of the financial system by administering protection systems for financial consumers. So this is the deposit insurance system and TIPS, the one that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Through the administration of these protection systems, we also help encourage our member institutions to adopt sound risk management practices. And that is done through our differential premium or levy systems. So what this means is we take a risk-based approach to how the premiums and levies are paid by our member institutions every year. So how this works is a member institution that is assessed to have a better risk rating will pay less premiums or levies and vice versa. This risk-based approach is actually meant to reward member institutions who are better at managing their risk and encourage member institutions with a lower risk rating to improve their risk management.
So, Sarina, this has been like very informational about PIDM, a lot of new info that I didn't know before. But just as a recap to this episode, what are the three important things that people should remember about PIDM?
Three key things. If you don't remember anything else, you should remember this. PIDM is a government authority. Mm-hmm. We protect your deposits, takaful and insurance benefits in the event bank or takaful and insurance company fails. Our protection is automatic and free. No need to pay or apply. So please be alert if someone asks you to pay for our protection. If you can't remember anything else, that's what you take home. If you need more information, obviously, the best place to go would be to our website, pidm.gov.my. Quite a lot of information about how we protect the deposits, takaful and insurance benefits. And of course, if there are further questions, we have a toll-free line. You don't have to pay for it. 1-800-881-266. Or they can even email info@pidm.gov.my.
This episode was produced and edited by Othniel Thing and Hanif Barudin. Additional research and story direction by Rahma Pauzi. Olivia Siao is our project manager. Babani Viria and Diane Au assisted with additional client relations. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I've been speaking to Sarina Arifin, Deputy General Manager of the Communication and Public Affairs Division at PIDM. Thanks for listening, and join me again in the next episode as I find out more about PIDM. I'll be learning all about the Deposit Insurance System, or DIS, next. See you then. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.